disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. Tuesday morning? Good Tuesday morning here on the 19th of November, 2019. Lord's not making another one. Thanks for joining us here today. You know, life can change in an instant, can't it? Can't it? I was thinking about the other day when my wife was, I didn't even tell her this. She was driving some, I can't remember where. Anyway, I thought, you know what, man, if something would happen to her on the way over there, somebody go left to center, whatever, man, that would radically transform my life. We're all just one phone call, one doctor's visit, one whatever away from unbelievable bad. And one phone call, right? I mean, you don't know. You don't know. That's why it's important to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And you know, the greatest fear that we have isn't even supposed to be a fear anymore. And that's a fear of death. Bible says we were delivered from that, who men their whole lives. Somebody know where that is? It just popped into my brain. That we got victory over the greatest fear that we ever had. Somebody look that up for me real quick. We got victory over the greatest fear we would ever have, the fear of death. Fear of death. When I think about some things that could happen in my life, that I fear much more than death. Much, much more than death. And yet we focus so much on it as if we're all going to live forever. And you think over the consequences of your life. And I was having a conversation last night with my son. I hate to keep sounding morbid. I'm 13 years. I'll be 67 next 26, whatever that is. That's a week from today. I'll be 67. 13 years from 80. 13 years from 80. And I look back over the 67 years of all the things that I avoided that I shouldn't have been able to avoid, all the crazy things I did that I should never have been able to get away with, and I did. And how so many different times my life could have changed, but it didn't, for the intervention of God. And how many times my life changed that I didn't even think about it. I was talking to Randy Lunsford yesterday. I will know at the end of my life that one of the greatest life-altering decisions that ever happened to me was the purchase of Sky High. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. Why the Lord wanted me to have that place. But I think I'm going to look back on however many years I have left. I'm going to say, man, whew, boy, was that was a biggie right there. I think often we misunderstand the little everyday decisions and little everyday happenings that we come across, and we don't understand the impact. Not just the impact it has on us, because it's never about us. The impact it has on others. So Mike and Polly, he found out that Polly's test came back with didn't get good news back from the doctor regarding I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. She had a hysterectomy, and they didn't get good news about it. There's a real tendency for us to fall into deep mourning over something that we really don't even truly understand. And that Bible tells us this. Did anybody find that scripture I was looking for yet, by the way? Bible tells us this. Listen to me. That all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, there's several different things right in there that you have to focus on. Number one, evidently, there are some bad things. Not everything that happens to you will be good. It's number one. So, well, he's a good God. If he's a good God, how can bad things happen? Well, because all things work together for good. Time out. Not about you. Not about you. I'm praying for Polly. Not about her. Not about Polly. All things work together for good for those who what? Love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Is your life for his purpose or not? And if your life is for his purpose, then all things going to work together for good. It's all going to be good. And even though it may not appear to be good in the natural realm, it is the willingness of you to lay down your life and lay down your vain ambitions and say, Lord, whatever. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And my life could change today. My life could change tomorrow. My life could never change. But I know this, that deep in my heart's what faith is all about. No matter what news I get on that phone call, no matter what news I get, all things are going to work together for good. Why? Because I love the Lord, and I am called according to his purpose. That's it, man. That's it. So we pray. Healing is the children's bread, is what the scripture says. Not to beg God to heal, not to beg him to heal, to get down on our knees and do novenas or whatever they call that in the Catholic Church. And don't have to do that, to beg God. Do you have to beg God? You. Do your grandkids have to beg you to do something good for them? Well, that's crazy. Of course they don't have to beg. Why do we think we have to beg God? Because we don't understand it, see? We don't understand his wills, his thoughts, our thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And it comes back to personally presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. I'm praying and I'm believing for Polly's healing. Praise the Lord, a lot of more years together with those grandbabies. I understand that. But the promise is all things work together for good. Mike Heath loves the Lord. Mike Heath's called according to his purpose. All things going to work together for good. May not be good. With me, I don't want to. Let's pray. Let's just continue to pray for Polly, Mike, that the Lord's will be done. Say, well, the Lord would be that none would perish. Well, Polly ain't perishing. We're all perishing daily, physically. She's not. She's more alive and more healthy now than she's ever been in her natural, in her inner man, not her natural man, in her spirit man, right? That's, folks, we're just a body. We're a spirit that lives in a body. We live in a body. I don't want it to sound like I'm not praying for her, because I am. I'm believing for a miraculous healing, but I don't want to beg God for it. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Is it okay if I said that, Polly? Didn't want to downplay what you've gone through. We stand with you on it. But all things will work together for good. Because why? You love the Lord and you're called according to his purpose. So that's the way I see it. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Cool. I got a great show for you tomorrow. You're not going to understand it. Why it's great until tomorrow. I wrote my commentary last week. A news with views on, I can't remember exactly what, I write so many of them, right? But it had to do with, do you have a plan? And when I write, people respond. They send me emails, make comments and all that stuff. I got an email from Dr. Edwin Vieira. A lot of you don't know who Dr. Edwin Vieira is. Doesn't matter. He's a constitutional authority on, of all things, mainly two things, constitutional money and the Second Amendment. And he just sent me a note. By the way, brother of Meredith Vieira on what is CBS, wherever she is, Meredith Vieira, his sister. And so he sent me that real nice little good job that he said. And I said, hey, how about, and he made the point. He says, you know, people, he said, he used it, the excuse me, the M word, M word. It says people don't want to hear much about the M word. It concerns me. We need to hear more about the M word. And the M word is the Second Amendment. A well-regulated M word, a well-regulated militia being necessary for a well, see, my brain, I quote that thing like I'm starting wrong. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Edwin Vieira is an expert on the American militia and what it's supposed to be, and it's not a bad word. And if we're going to save America, we have to, once again, understand the meaning of the militia, what it's about, its constitutional authority for it. Folks, it was ingrained in the Second Amendment. Connor, can you pull that up there real quick? I know that's I'm throwing a fast one to you right away. Second Amendment. Dr. Vieira is going to talk about, I'm honored. He's a bigwig, man. He's a bigwig. And he's going to join us tomorrow to talk about why Americans need to see. We've been so programmed again. So we need to awaken to understand exactly what's going on and what they're doing to us. Seeing if it's up on the screen yet, there, Jared. I'm sorry. Not there. I'm still looking for it. Here it comes. Second Amendment, folks. This is ingrained in the Constitution. A well-regulated militia. How did that become a bad word? It's ingrained right in the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to keep our nation free, safe. It says security of a free state, state being the individual states. They believed in those back then. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. See, it was the idea that the people kept arms and were organized together within their states. It's not a bad word. So Dr. Vieira is going to be with us tomorrow. Now, I want to warn you, he's not the most dynamic guy. He's professorial. Not like Jamie, you know, not like Jamie's going to make you run through a wall. No, he's not that kind of guy. But he's just going to lay it out there. Say, dudes, listen, this is what it is. Come on, America, this is what it's all about. And why it's important that we understand that and we once again. Hey, Jared, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Why do we not have a free state? Because we don't have a well-regulated militia. That's why. And why do we need a right well-regulated militia? Was it to fight the Indians? No, boys and girls. It was for our state to remain free. Why? Because they knew that the government would overstep its bounds. You say, well, Coach, that's why we have the National Guard. Oh, yeah? Well, why do they call it a National Guard if we're supposed to have a well-regulated militia for the security of a free state? Dr. Vieira is going to cover all that tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. No, I was just going to say to go to something else, and I forget. Well, oh, yeah, click on it. It just says Dr. Vieira. Just click on it, if you would, Connor, real quickly. Yeah. Pastor Todd says, we're not human beings have a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Amen. Amen. So there's one of Dr. Vieira's books, 13 Words, and it's about the Second Amendment. If you scroll down there a little bit, you also find Connor. There it is. The three rights. He talks about the imperial judiciary, how to reel them back in, the constitutional homeland security, the nation in arms. All really, 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 really good stuff. Good books that he's written. And he's going to join us tomorrow, Dr. Edwin Vieira. Okay. Hey, listen, I've gone 13 minutes and haven't taken a breath yet. Anybody want to throw anything out here? I've got a couple more things I want to throw out here real quick, but I'll stop for a minute. Okay. Well, nobody. Doesn't hurt my feelings. We're all good. A couple things I want to point out here real quick. Folks, listen. There's a great revealing going on right now. Unbelievably great revealing that's going on in the world right now. It's happening right now. And again, I was on the phone with Randy yesterday. Randy called me and really, really encouraged me, and I hope I encouraged him. We are at the most unbelievable time in American history, certainly world history, probably, that we could ever, ever imagine. And I was thinking, you know, I shared with you guys yesterday. Oh, can I get that up there? Hang on. I shared with you yesterday about, you know, those of you who watched yesterday's show about the, what am I looking for? Where? Okay. About the pyramid, sky high, and the Inca pyramid and all that stuff. And I'm going to try to send this picture right now to Jared. Hang on. And to think that, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That I happen to be here right now in the total and complete eons of time. And we read that yesterday. And what did they say? That carbon dated, that box they found, a carbon dated at 150 AD or something like that. Unbelievable. That there was a pyramid that was right out here. And why, out of all the expanse and the eons of time, I would be living on that property. I would own that property. What I have up on the screen right now, Chad sent this to me. Because when we think of pyramids, you know what we think of, right? We think of the pyramids of Egypt. This is called an Inca pyramid. So it's a different style of pyramid. And it was 50 feet tall. I think they said it was 50 feet tall, the one they tore down. And so you look at that thing, you could see how they'd take rocks off of that, as opposed to, you know, we go to those modern ones in Egypt that we think about, a little bit different. This is an Inca pyramid. And it was right over here. The great unveiling, revealing that's going on. There's a great revealing that's going on in the devil being exposed, evil being exposed. My wife told me that Linda told her, I think, is that maybe I used it yesterday. I apologize if I did. That the separation that's going on right now is the sheep from the sheep. The goats and the sheep are pretty much already separated. But it's the goats and the sheep. It's the sheep and the sheep. It's the deep committed sheep and the shallow sheep. Think about Gideon's army. So I have 3,000 men. They were good folks, good people, 3,000 of them. But the Lord said to Gideon, you know, you got 3,000 believers there with you, Gideon, 30,000, I think it was. You got 30,000 believers there with you, brother, but they ain't all at the same spiritual level. And he said, I want you to do me a favor. I still love all those, but you go to tell all those who are fearful, you tell them to go on home. So we know the story that Gideon went down and said, hey, any of you that are afraid, any of you that are serving fear, you can go on home. No hard feelings, but we don't want any fear in our camp. So he sent 27,000, stay with me, believers, army, home. They were believers. He was left with 3,000. And he said, oh, wait, great, Lord, thank you. Great plan. Lost all those guys. Now what am I going to do? And the Lord said, well, get in. Hey, tell you this, dude, you still got too many. You got too many. Said some are still, you still got the cream of the cream there, but some of them still, you know, man, some of them are not as focused as they need to be. So you take them down, let them get a drink of water. And those who put their head down and lap like a dog, did you send them home? And those who bow down on one knee and cup it and keep their eye on their enemy, those are your boys. Those are your boys. You go to war with those guys because ultimately, the war is not your war. The war is my war, and I need faithful people through whom I can fight this fight. See, God didn't need Gideon's 30,000. He said, if I got 30,000 guys, they'll think that they did it. He said, just give me a few committed guys who don't take their eye off of the enemy and sold out to the end, and I'm going to do great. I'm going to do great things to them. And he did. We're kind of in that area now. That's what I see is this. This group of guys being here, some of you, okay, Lord, I'll say that. Some of you would pass the first separation. You would pass the gone from 30,000 to 3,000. When 27,000 went home, some of you would still make it. Some of you would still make it. 3,000, that'd be good to be counted in that number. But again, they're all believers. Lord said, some of those 3,000, they're still not there, man. Still not there. I still love them. They're still my sheep, but you send them home. Send them home. That's what's going on here. And some of the ratio, that's some of that ratio. I look at the queue here. I do this. I see who's in here and who's not. There's, when all the shooting starts, as my old buddy used to say, when all the shooting starts, some of you ain't going to be here. Just, I've happened to get you. I'm not criticizing anybody there. It's just the reality of it. You love the Lord and you're all in. You're all in right now. But the Lord is smart enough to tell Gideon, Gideon, they're all in right now. But bud, where you're going, being all in right now ain't going to be the same as being all in down there. You have addition by subtraction. Sometimes you get stronger by losing some things, like weight, huh? So it's a great revealing going on. And I said to Randy, I look back over my life's journey. Just the little miraculous things that have happened in my own life that I, how'd that happen, Lord? How'd that happen? How did I first get introduced to the idea of the Nephilim? Where did I first hear about that? It hadn't been that long ago. Like maybe 10, 12, maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago, I first heard of the Nephilim. And then to start talking about the Nephilim and you start losing friends. Somebody say amen. I'm going to stop right now because the deeper you get into truth, the more friends you're going to lose. I'm going to say amen. Has that happened to anybody?
Huh? Yes, it's happened to me more than once.
And anybody else? Anybody else? The deeper you go, the deeper you go into the truth, the more friends you lose. Somebody say amen.
Yes, amen.
See, that's
true.
That's like Gideon separation. That's Gideon separation. It's not that they don't love the Lord or that they don't love you. It's just they're not there. They're just not quite there. They're just quite not there. That's where we are. That's what I think's going on. And again, why would the Lord connect me to L.A. Marzulli? Why would the Lord come here, bring L.A. Marzulli, the chief of Nephilim research? Why would he bring him to Newark, Ohio, and me connect with Newark, Ohio, and then L.A. explain to me all these things that are around me, all these Nephilim Central? See, some of you watching right now, you're getting a little nervous. Some of you want to go right now and leave because your pastor doesn't believe in it. See, that's what happens. Well, I've never heard my pastor talk about it. And I went and talked to my pastor about it. And he said, better stay away from coach. Coach is crazy. Coach is crazy. Better. No, we don't do that. No. With me? It's that separation. It's happening, as Michelle said, the sheep from the sheep. A sifting is going on. And I just say, man, what a wonderful, powerful time to be alive. To think that over the eons of time that the Lord would pluck me down in Nephilim Central and begin to open my eyes to what's going on. So I don't care how many of you think I'm crazy. I could not care less how many of you think you don't even have to agree with me. I don't care. But I know what I see. I know what the Lord's showing me. And you know what? He isn't showing me the whole thing. I was on the phone with Randy yesterday. I said, Randy, I know this. So you listening to me out there? You folks, you listening to me? I know this. I don't know why, but the Lord has helped us seize high ground from the devil.
Amen.
Know that in the depth of me.
Amen.
Evil things took place up on that hill. And it now belongs to the Lord. Now, what's he going to do with it? That's part of the problem I think I'm having with what I do up there. Because, see, everybody has a plan about what they think we ought to do up there. I want the Lord's plan. See, the Lord has something bigger. I hate to do that. Sky High is right up there. The Lord has something bigger than I could even in my mind ever conceive. Why he brought that. The eons of time. A pyramid over there. Carbon dated 150 AD. And now I am sitting at the top of it.
Amen.
Something's happening, man. And no, it's not grandiose. And no, I don't think I'm more important than anybody. No. Don't. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. There's a great unveiling, revealing that's gone on all around us, man. All around us. And we are seeing things that we believe that now we know aren't true. And we see things they told us that aren't true that now we know are true. And we see corruption everywhere. We see the influences of the devil being exposed everywhere. We see our government is corrupt. Our money is corrupt. Our schools are corrupt. Everywhere you look, our medical industry is corrupt. Everywhere you look, there is corruption. And it's just a great unveiling and revealing of what's going on. And you know what? Some of those people still want to put their tongue down and laugh. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see it. They want to turn the other way.
Right.
They don't. It doesn't make them feel good, Coach. This is key.
Hey, Coach, for such a time as this, Coach.
For such a time as this.
Absolutely.
Yep, for such a time as this. And let me segue into something here real quick, okay? Because once again, it's all over the place. Chick-fil-A caves. I can't believe I go to Facebook that Chick-fil-A has caved and now is no longer going to donate to anti-LGBTQRSTUV ministries. At least that's what they tell. I don't know that. Could be hearsay, but that's what I see. And everybody says, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back there. No, but you send your kids to school, don't you? You send your kids to college.
Yeah.
You do that. You don't have any problem with that. You pay your tax dollars to kill babies. You don't have any trouble with that. I'm not going to Chick-fil-A. They've sold us out. Let me tell you something, dudes. The pulpit sold you out long before Chick-fil-A.
Yes, it is.
Long before it.
Hey, Coach.
We can't even see our own hypocrisy. Yes, one in.
Is Rex Tillerson on the board?
I don't know.
He was on the Boy Scouts board, and he's the one that caved into the LGBTQ.
It wasn't him. It was the church. The church. Does Rex Tillerson go to church? Is his pastor holding him accountable? See, it's always the failure of the church, boys and girls. It's not the failure of this guy or that guy. It's the failure of the church. It's the failure of the church. You know why Donald Trump has not stood up against the homo agenda? We know why. Can somebody answer for me why he has not stood up against the homo agenda? I'm listening. Anybody know why?
Money.
Because his church advisors, haven't told him to.
It's always the church. Always the church. We are the restraining line. We are. And so what's our solution? Oh, I know our solution. Instead of getting rid of homosexuality in the church, we're not going to go to Chick-fil-A anymore. We'll show them.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Huh? So there we are, man.
Separating fact from fiction. Yep.
Separating the sheep from the sheep.
Yes.
We want Chick-fil-A to do what our pastors won't do. You guys do see that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We want Donald Trump to do what our churches won't do. Can't we see? Yeah. So listen, I'm sorry, I can't resist. Go to Facebook. Go to Facebook for me, Connor. Go to Facebook. You saw David Delight and lost to Planned Parenthood, right? Planned Parenthood's now going to get money from Dave. Well, there'll be an appeal. See, this was the perfect. I'm sorry, just stay with me today. This was the perfect example of judge shopping, right? Where did David Dalyden? Where was his battle? What city was he on trial for exposing Planned Parenthood? Does anybody know what city in all of America with Planned Parenthoods all across America? In what city was he on trial? Does anybody know? Well, can I help you? San Francisco. So was that just by accident that they tried that case in San Francisco?
No,
that wasn't by accident, was it? No, that's going to be appealed. But we show how injustice the justice system is. I say go to Facebook. Listen, I don't know what's on me today. Let me get off. Let me get this off my chest, okay? Connor, did you? I'm sorry, man. I'm all messed up here. Did you go there, Connor? Did we go? Hang on. What am I looking for here? Let's click on that. Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Go to Facebook, Connor. I know you probably are already there. Hang on. Yes. Okay. I'm going to say it one more time. Go on down. I watched that. There's a good one, by the way. There's a good meme I put up yesterday. Why is it illegal to lie to Congress, but not illegal for Congress to lie to the people? Somebody explain that one to me. Scroll on down. Keep on going. There's Chick-fil-A. Okay, stop. Now, I watched this I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times I watched this. I don't want to talk about Kanye again. I'm so sick and tired of the criticism of this once lost man. I'm sick of it. Now, I watched this several times, tried to go over it with a fine-tooth comb, and sat my wife down last night before we went to bed, said, honey, watch this. Can you tell me something here that he said that's offensive or wrong? It's 4 minutes. Kanye West at Joel Osteen's church. Okay? I'm not a Joel Osteen fan. But, hey, can Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? And I'm not going to attend Kanye West's church. But I'm okay, here we go. 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 38 seconds. Somebody explain to me what he says that is not true and is not the gospel. Go ahead.
I mean, the devil's been distracting me for a long time. And when I was, you know, in my lowest points, you know, God was there with me. And
stop a minute. Listen, I want you folks to hear. Listen now. Listen with a good ear. I want you to hear what he says about Christians being afraid. Go ahead.
Visions and inspiring me. And I remember sitting in the hospital at UCLA after having a mental breakdown, and there's documentations of me drawing a church and saying, start a church in the middle of Calabasas. And even after that, I went and made the Life of Pablo album. I said, this is a gospel album. And I didn't know how to totally make a gospel album. And the Christians that were around were too, I would say, beaten into submission by society to not speak up and profess the gospel to me, because I was a superstar.
In fact, Connor, go back, because I want people to say it again. He wants to do a Christian video. This is a year ago. He wanted to do a Christian video a year ago, and he went to some Christians and said, how do I make one? I'm not really a Christian. How do I do this? And he goes to the Christians, and what did he say about the Christians? They were so beat down, scared, hiding. Go ahead.
And I didn't know how to totally make a gospel album. And the Christians that were around were too, beaten into submission by society to not speak up and profess the gospel to me, because I was a superstar. So, but the only superstar is Jesus. So as I sat there saying, I'm going to make a gospel album, there were Christians that were there that were not. Excuse me, brother. I go into these streams of consciousness when I'm talking, and when you're speaking in the middle of it, it distracts me. I really.
Somebody in the audience said something and it distracted him. That's what he's saying here. I heard people, they pull this out of context. It's just crazy. Keep going.
Appreciate the support, but I would like for everybody to be completely silent so I can let God flow through me as I speak to you guys today. So in the studio, and this studio, it's going to compare to places that you're in life where people tell you to quiet your voice and not talk about Jesus, so loud, but everything else is so loud around us. When I'm in California, when I'm in Vegas, they got posters up advertising, sex trafficking. Because if there's an advertisement for a strip club, that is advertising sex trafficking. Because at the end of the night, when they close up, the manager says, how much traffic do we have? So if it's a man that's going through things with his family or going through things at work and he feels he has to go there, we all end up participating, whether it's the spirits that get advertised to us all the time. Alcohol is, they call it a spirit. So we get constant advertisement for spirits. We get constant advertisement for strip clubs and other things like that. But then we bring up the name of Jesus, we're told to be quiet, quiet that down. So even for someone who's professing God and saying, this is going to be a gospel album, the devil's going to come and do everything he can to distract people from knowing how to fully be in service to the Lord. And all of that arrogance and confidence and cockiness that y'all seen me use before, God is now using for him. I feel I'm standing up.
Free. Now listen, because he's going to make a tongue-in-cheek. I think this is a segment. He's going to make a tongue-in-cheek statement. The greatest artist that God ever created. He's saying it tongue-in-cheek. People don't even, they can't even, some religious folks can't even understand the obvious. Maybe it's not this segment, but somewhere he said the greatest performer God ever produced is now going to serve the Lord, or something like that. And you see people say, oh, look at it. He's still full of pride. Go ahead, Jerry. Finish up there, Connor. 12 more seconds.
And drawing a line in the sand and saying, I'm here in service to God and no weapon formed against me.
All right. Anybody want to tear that apart? Anybody want to tell me about the Luciferian signals that I'm missing, and that he's just playing the role? And somebody help me here. I'm all ears.
Coach, they grave diggers. A grave digger is a Laodicean Christian or a non-believer that loves ripping up the sins that the blood of Christ has already covered and thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. They're grave diggers, Coach.
Yeah, amen. See, here's what I see. I see real transformation. I don't know where he's gone with it, because I know other people who got saved and then slid away. I don't know where he's gone. I don't know where he's gone. But it breaks my heart to think that some people cannot see a real transformation. I see a real one.
Coach, me and Randy was talking yesterday, and he's got a superstar if he wants to tell you about him. But I told him I work for one. I work for Barry Windham, professional wrestler. I coached his two nephews, and I sat there with Barry, 6'7", just a monster of a man. He was sitting in his truck. I had a hold of his hand. The Holy Ghost hit him, and he was crying and weeping like a little child, Coach.
Amen. Amen. I've had that experience, man. I've had that transformative experience. And I know this, that probably I'm still dealing with the after effects of it even today. Even today, people who knew me when, they're still not convinced. They're still not convinced. They think I'm crazy. Kanye West stood up there and said that he had a nervous breakdown. What kind of prideful man would do that? If you're full of pride, would you stand up and talk about the fact that you had a nervous breakdown? You were at the top of the world. You had a nervous breakdown. And you had to go into the hospital. Does a prideful man do that? And, hey, I say this. I'll stick to it. Most of you are being far more greatly deceived by the guy standing in your pulpit than you are by Kanye West. And if you're following Kanye West, you got yourself a problem, buddy. You're following any man, you've got yourself a problem. But I heard Jesus, Jesus, Scripture, Scripture, Jesus, Jesus coming out of that guy's mouth. I don't even know what to tell you. Don't even know what to tell you. Okay, I don't want to stay there all. Anybody else have a comment on it? I don't want to stay there forever. I said yesterday, are we going to pick up the pieces? He planted the seeds. Are we going to go out and try to reap the harvest? Thousands and thousands of millions of people here in the name of Jesus. Never heard it before. Is Kanye asking them to follow him? No, he's already said it. I'm serving the Lord. Follow the Lord.
Amen. On a lighter note, Coach, I think I saw Joel Osteen with a pad and pen taking some notes there. He never heard such things.
Yeah.
I believe I saw Joel Osteen in some very uncomfortable positions of body language there.
I did too, Larry.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Too, yeah.
Because you know what? I think he's worried about what Kanye might say. He was nervous the whole time about what Kanye might say.
Good.
Now listen, then I heard people say, he has to be from the devil. Did you hear him affirm Joel Osteen? Did you hear? Well, how rude would it be to go into somebody's pulpit and expose them. My friends, you do that one-on-one behind closed doors, man to man. You don't get invited into somebody's pulpit and then pee all over it. You know what I'm talking about?
Matthew 18.
You don't do that. Now, a lot of people on Facebook want to do it. Oh, they want Kanye to go and read Joel Osteen the Riot Act. They want him to do it. They're not going to.
Yeah, but they won't go to their own local abortion clinic and stand up for the little baby boys being slaughtered. But they want somebody else to go do the work, right?
Hey, Dale, and they don't eat Chick-fil-A anymore. They're not going to have any more Chick-fil-A.
God's church wasn't in the building.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
What I noticed from his presentation is he just gave, it was very, he just kind of gave his testimony.
Yeah.
He just kind of said, this is how God has changed me. This is the work of Christ. It wasn't elaborate. It wasn't earth shattering. It was just.
Follow me. Was it follow me?
No, it was just his testimony. And I think we need to remember that our greatest testimony to other believers and non-believers is how God has changed our life. And it's a simple testimony because it's yours.
It's right, man. It's yours. I was having a conversation.
Well, Roger, that is,
go ahead.
That's the best gospel message anybody can preach. Not the theological, the eschatologies. It truly is the greatest greatest gospel you will ever preach is your testimony.
Yeah,
the Chick-fil-A thing, brother. I'm gonna. Right. Are you kidding me? What am I supposed to do? Go to Popeyes to get a chicken sandwich? Are you kidding me? Do you know it could cost me in my life?
Oh, Lord, it's just so typical, isn't it? It's just so typical.
I love you, Coach.
Thanks, man. I love me too. Just kidding. Just kidding. Good to know somebody. I know a lot of you do. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm a troubler of men. I'm a troubler of it. I don't do it on purpose. And I just, you know, I just am. So, where am I, Lord? 7:42. Somebody's got something to say. I feel it. Somebody's got something to say.
Yeah, Dave.
Coach. You're a fire starter, Coach.
I am. I'm a fire. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rich. Is it Rich?
I watched the whole video. And I nitpicked it. And it just, the little inconsistencies of New Age I found. Even Siki, he backed Joel Osteen up, calling. People have a problem with Joel Osteen, that he's saying that God is good. I'm not quoting it verbatim. But knowing the background of Joel Osteen, and what his wife does, supporting the LGBTQ, actually going to LGBTQ events, and he's telling that God is good in that place. I got a problem with that.
You think Kanye knows that?
You know, part of the conversion process from the world into the family of God is someone teaching you how to be a disciple. Has Kanye West been discipled? Is he being discipled? Is a good question for us to know the answer to. Now, we can all ultimately say, well, the same Holy Spirit that revealed what God's word says to us can reveal it to Kanye West, and that's absolutely true. But even in our walks, in my walk, things that I actually believed, I believed them until a point came when the Spirit said, no, that's not what my word says. Although I believed it was what the word says because I've been told by somebody it's what the word says. Mm-hmm. But there are mutations, there are changes, there is evolution, to use what some people think is a bad word. There is an evolution that goes on in our lives as we mature. And why should we refuse to allow the same process to happen in Kanye?
Amen.
I think he's being counseled by a pastor. I think I read in California. Kanye, I think, moved his family to Wyoming. And I read where he's been flying to California to meet with a pastor there.
So, I watched this preacher, Coach. This preacher is solid.
some white guy's got a little bitty church out there. And from what I heard, and I only watched one video on him, he sounded solid.
Yeah, but we love to nitpick, don't we? I love it. Let's stop a minute. Stop. You understand? I get this same criticism. I get it every day. I had people email me, are you ready for this one? I'm not making this up. They want to know why. Let me see myself here. That I do this when I talk. They want to know why I do this when I talk. Have you guys noticed that? That Coach Dave is always, he's flashing that. I just.
Hey, Coach.
See, hang on, Jeff. Kanye West is in Joel Osteen's church because he's Kanye West. Now, we could say it's some conspiracy between the forces of darkness of Kanye and Joel Osteen, the kings of this earth, or world conspiring against the. We can see that conspiracy there if we want to. We can. But to me, it's awfully amazing that Kanye would continue to use the name Jesus and talk about salvation and against the devil and be working for the devil. I just have a hard time believing it. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, you think about how many times over the years have we said most Christians and pastors won't even go out to a street corner and lift the name of Jesus in America. Now, Conway's just done it. So all these street corners are hearing the name of Jesus. Now, as we go out there in your daily walk, as you see a young person, all you got to do now is say, hey, what do you think about Kanye? And boom, you'll have a conversation with that kid right now, because now they'll talk to you. Before they wouldn't.
No, that's right. And Kanye says what? He wants to follow Jesus. He wants you to follow Jesus. Hey, guys and girls, if we tell people to follow Kanye, we got us a serious problem. If we tell people to follow Jesus, I don't know how that message is bad. Stop a minute. Stop it, will you? How many of you, for many years of your life, sat under bad teaching? I'm going to wait for somebody to say amen.
Amen.
How many of you sat under bad teaching?
Amen.
Too long.
Amen.
We want figured out here. We want him to have it all figured out in a year and a half. A year and a half ago, he was in a mental ward. And you know what they're saying about him now? He's nuts.
Hey, Coach.
He's nuts, right?
Coach, I was thinking about Romans 15:20. Paul says, thus I aspire to preach the gospel where Christ was already, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. You know, We have pastors preaching to the choir. Conway West goes to where Christ maybe has never been preached fully. And all the religious pastors get all upset. And they go back and preach to the choir. What a joke.
That's right, Robert. And then I'm one of them because I do this. Wait, I got to do this. Here, I do the one eye too. I do the one eye. I do this, and I do the one eye, and I'm in cahoots with Kanye and the devil.
It's a conspiracy just to wear that hat, Coach.
It is. Hey, folks, listen. The devil is working in so many subtle ways. The devil is convinced you. You're worried about Kanye West? He's convinced your pastor that homosexuality is okay, and you're worried about Kanye? They are going into libraries and teaching young kids about anal sex, and you're worried about Kanye? What? Are you kidding me? Go to Facebook again, Connor. I think I have it up on my Facebook page. You got to see this. I showed this to my wife last night, and she said, that's not real. Oh, yeah. It's real. It's not a parody. Is that my home? Is that my Facebook page? Scroll on down. Okay, here you go. Watch this. Everybody's worried about Kanye and me making this signal and me being one eye and devils everywhere else. And watch what's going on right under your nose, and you don't even know it. Go ahead and play this. This is from the activist mommy. She captured this someplace. Total brainwashing. And you're worried about Kanye. whether Kanye's the real deal. Meanwhile, the devil's eating your children. Play it.
Hi, I'm Nadine, a sex educator.
Brenda,
and I'm Eva, a sex researcher. I use the pronouns she and her because I'm a woman, and when I was your age, I used to be a girl.
Gender is how you feel on the inside about whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. If you're non-binary, feel like neither or both. People can also be fluid, feel more like female, more like male, based on a different day or time. It's really individual.
Absolutely.
Everyone born with a vulva is a girl, true or false.
Or identifies as a girl. Not everybody is sure, and that makes sense. But our genitals actually don't determine our gender, so some people born with vulvas can be boys.
Let's learn a little bit more about gender. We actually have an extra special visitor to sex ed school.
I have been through the spectrum, if we were to say a spectrum, of like boys and girls. I have been everywhere in between. I was born a girl. And then when I was 2 years old, I told my mom for the first time that I was a boy.
2 years and, old, yeah, right.
I think that I framed it. I don't remember it. I've only been told stories. But I framed it because my brother's middle name was the same as my dad's. And so I insisted that my middle name was also the same as his. But back in the day, there was no talk shows and there was no internet. There was no resources. So she just ignored it. And then nothing happened for many, many years. And then it still took me a long time into my 20s before I decided to transition. But in there, I was a tomboy, if that's what we say, or like I was sporty, I had short hair. And then I grew it out in high school because I felt like I should. And I felt like that's what people wanted me to be. And then in my 20s, I decided to become a drag king, which we don't hear about as much. Like drag queens are in the news all the time, but a drag king is a little bit different. So for me, it was in my daily life, I was a girl. But then when I went on stage and I wanted to perform, I would perform as male and I would use he, him pronouns. And that was kind of a way for the first time where people were seeing me as a boy. And that's when it kind of clicked in my head of, I actually want to do this when I'm off stage as well.
Hi, I'm Nadine, a sex educator.
And I'm Eva, a sex researcher.
I use the pronouns.
You shut that off, comment. It would be better for you if they were to put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the deepest part of the ocean than to even mislead one of these little ones that believe in me. And you're paying, you're putting your kids in those schools, and you're worried about whether Kanye is fooling the rest of us into following the devil.
Dave, if we don't, we continue down this path. A collapse of America is coming if we continue down this type of path.
It's coming, brother. It's coming.
It's coming. No, my mind. That God is going to orchestrate a collapse. You can't continue to put your fist up to him. It's just mind-boggling.
Amen, Roger. And to think, destroying the lives of little kids. That's what's going on. Total brainwashing. And
amen.
Coach. Preaching Jesus, and we're worried about, you got this. Chick-fil-A. Boy, I'm done with Chick-fil-A. Hey, listen, normally when I go to the high school football game, we get Chick-fil-A, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go to the high school game. I'm going to get early. I'll buy hot dogs from them. We're amazing. Come on now. I'm sorry. I've been all over the place today.
Hey, Coach, this is Keith.
You ready, Robert? Go ahead, Keith.
Okay. To get back to what we were talking about the LGBT going after the kids. For those of you who know, that's unfortunately part of my story. And I don't know if you got to read my email, but praise God, Sons of Liberty Media at least published a story out. It's got about 1,500 shares and a lot more views. So, my wife and I, we just wanted to be parents and have kids. We didn't want to get into this LGBT thing at all, but then these people come after our kids. Well, I mean, what do we do? So anyway, we praise God that at least Sons of Liberty Media, they've stood up. They have They have been those brave men Gideon was talking about, and they've brought up in that conversation. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. We stand with Sons of Liberty, and we're trying to strategize here on a plan as well. Robert, November 19th.
All righty. It's amazing. We see Satan going to war, and Christians are going AWOL, you know? Come on. Okay, revival. Revival on a local and personal scale has been, is, and should be experienced and will be experienced whenever its conditions are met. And I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about rising up for war, being the church, doing what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
The children of God have been commanded to experience such a personal revival as saints, as overcomers, as those walking in newness of life, and as new creatures of Christ. In other words, we don't have to wait for the church to invite the Holy Spirit in June 7th for 1 week revival. We don't need to do that.
That's right.
They are to give thanks in all things and overwhelmingly conquering in all circumstances. For to those who separate themselves from lawlessness, darkness, and idolatry, God promises, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me.
That sounds to me like a conditional, Robert. Doesn't look like everybody's a father and a child, does it?
No, those who separate themselves.
Yeah, I thought God loved everybody.
Yeah, he's not mad at anyone, right?
Right.
To these people, God has granted by his divine power everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called them by his own glory and excellence. He has granted to you his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You have to notice, having escaped the corruption, then you can become partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
Afterwards. And his promises are not, I hope so, but I know so, proclamations. For as many as may be the promises of God in him, they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us.
Amen.
Christians are to believe the Bible wholly, take their cause seriously, proclaim the gospel boldly, pursue holiness seriously, practice effective prayer continually, die to self completely, worship God reverently, fellowship with the Spirit intimately, serve the Lord wholeheartedly, resist the devil vehemently, despise the world passionately, and maintain their faith uncompromisingly, and practice what? Practice agape love sincerely. A personal heaven-sent revival only awaits a heart rent repentance.
Personal revival. There's an old saying that we used to throw around on our football team and stole it from somebody else. And that saying was this: if it's going to be, it's up to me. Not up to Kanye. It's not up to Joel. It's not up to Donald Trump. It's not up to your pastor. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Just as a side note, as we sign off here, that's a great one. Another mic drop, Robert. I don't know how many of you guys saw this. Donald Trump went to the hospital yesterday because his taster, the one who tastes his food, came up violently sick. And they were concerned that maybe somebody had tried to give him a delayed poisoning. Folks, we're at war beyond what we can even understand. And if Donald Trump is part of the deep state, why are they worried about him getting poisoned? Can somebody explain that one to me? See, we've reached the point where we see a devil behind everything good. A lot of good things going on, man. A lot of people fighting the fight. A lot of people standing up and pushing back. A lot of people contending earnestly for the faith. A lot of it going on. And unfortunately, we don't always have the eyes to see it. If it's up to me, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Why? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God bless you. See you tomorrow.